just relaxing in His glory and in His praise and in His love. I tell you, there is no presence like the presence of Jesus. It's so sweet. And it's so important that we just learn how to rest in His presence and just lean back in His everlasting arms. Just praise Him. Just love Him. Just allow Him to minister to us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm just looking over the congregation here to see if there's somebody here for the first time. Is there anybody here for the first time? I guess not. I think not. Everybody's old timers here tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to share some scripture tonight. Out of the 8th Psalm, we're just singing out of the 145th Psalm, and I feel to share some scriptures tonight about praise. And so, if you will, just take your Bible and turn to Psalm number 8. We sang part of this morning, and I just sense the spirit of praise on me very strong tonight. And you know how we should be like that all the time, but especially tonight I feel that way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, if you found that, would you just close your eyes for a moment and let's just pray and ask God to minister to us through the Word tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, we stand before You and the Word, before Your Word. We know that Your Word is eternal, that it's everlasting, that it's forever settled in heaven, that You watch over it to perform it, that You will never allow Your Word to fall fruitlessly to the ground. You said through the lips of the Lord Jesus that the words that He spoke were spirit and life. And He said He spoke nothing except that which You gave Him. Therefore, all of Your words are spirit and life. And so as we read Your Word tonight, Father, and as we look in it, we're looking into the perfect law of liberty. And we expect You tonight, Father, by Your Spirit, to minister Your truth to us. We expect You tonight, Father, as we look at the Word, as we examine it, as we turn it, as we read it, we expect You to teach us, Father, by Your Spirit. For You said that when the Holy Spirit would come, that He would teach us, and in Him is all truth and no lie. Lord, we know that You have something specially for us tonight, and we just ask You to show it to us clearly and distinctly, that we'll not miss it. And I ask, Father, that as I minister the Word, that as You know the needs of everyone who is here tonight, that You would take my body and my lips, my mind and my spirit, and that You would cause to come forth from me that which is needful tonight for the people. Now, I trust You to do it, Father, and I just lean back into Your everlasting arms. I rest in You, and I allow You to minister in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a sweet, tender spirit in this place tonight. Now, when I say there's a sweet, tender spirit in the place, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. It's the Holy Spirit. I know what His name is. I mean, I'm not confused about who He is. But there's just sometimes he manifests His presence in different ways. Sometimes you just feel a wash of joy. Other times you just feel His happiness. Other times you feel a wash of His power. Tonight, I just feel a wash of His tenderness and His great love. Psalm number 8. We sang out of this psalm this morning, but I want to take a particular verse out of it and share something. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now I want to read that second verse again. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now we know the Bible tells us who the enemy is. Paul says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, or as another translation says, wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. So our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy are the principalities and the powers, the rulers of darkness, the wicked spirits that are ruling in the heavenly places, in high places. Satan and his demonic host, those are the enemy. Those are the ones that bring pressure upon us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that bring disaster into our lives. Those are the ones that bring oppression, depression, discouragement, despair, and all the rest. Those are the ones that bring strife, envy, confusion, and every other wicked work. It's principalities and powers. David said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. All right? He's saying here how that enemy is going to be stilled. How is the voice of the devil going to be stilled in your life? How is Satan's work, strife, envy, confusion, doubt, unbelief, sickness, all the rest of it, how are those things to be stilled, to be put to naught in your life? God said that out of the mouths of babes and sucklings that he had ordained strength in order to still the enemy. God has ordained a means by which the enemy may be stilled, and that you and I might have victory. Now, if we can find out what that is, that ought to help us, shouldn't it? It ought to help us live the life of Christ. It ought to help us live the kind of life that God has provided for us in the family. How many of you mothers and fathers have not provided for your children? Let me see your hands. How many of you think your heavenly Father has not provided for you? Let me see your hands. Well then, if he has provided for you, by your own admission, by the failure of yourself to lift your hand, you have said, I believe that God Almighty truly is Jehovah Jireh. God Almighty truly is Jehovah the Provider. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, when Abraham took Isaac upon the command of God up onto the mountain. Let's just turn back to that. Turn to the book of Genesis. Let's find the story here of Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice. The 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. All right, the second verse. And he said, that is, God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Remember, this was the son of the promise. This is the one through whom God was going to make Abraham the father of many nations. He said, take now thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, I want you to listen very carefully as we read this fifth verse. You're going to see something in here that some of you have never seen before. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Now listen to this next verse, and it ties in. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now many people, you see, have read this story, have heard it spoken, some of them not read it for themselves, have heard it taught, and have misunderstood what Abraham was going to do. In the fifth verse, Abraham told his young men, I and the lad are going yonder to worship. Isaac and I are going up onto the mount. We're going to worship God up there. There's an attitude in Abraham's heart of worship, not sacrifice of his son, although he's willing to do so. But he was going forth to worship and to praise God. Now in the seventh verse, Isaac said, Father, I see we have the knife and we have the wood and we've got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? In the eighth verse, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Now do you think Abraham was just playing games with his son? Why would he say that? God will provide a lamb himself for a burnt offering. Abraham perfectly willing to sacrifice his own son if necessary, but he said here with his own lips, I believe that as we go forth to worship Almighty God, he will provide the lamb that will be used for the sacrifice. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood, willing to sacrifice his own son, but believing God to provide a lamb. Do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see it? Willing to give the son of promise, all the while believing God to provide a lamb for himself. That's important. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God provided the burnt offering. Now let's read verse 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, in the Hebrew tongue, means God will provide. God will provide. Jehovah, God, is the provider. And as he provided for Abraham a sacrifice for his worship, he will also provide whatever it is that you need and that I need. He is not Jehovah Jireh to Abraham and Jehovah have nothing available for me. He is Jehovah God, the provider to one and all which belong unto him. Okay, now let's go back to the eighth Psalm. We said that God would provide. We said he was a loving heavenly father, that he would provide whatever it was that we needed to overcome our enemy and to still his voice, just as he supplied the offering there for Abraham and Isaac so that they could worship God. All right, let's read the second verse again. out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. What is that strength that God has ordained? What is the strength that God has provided so that we might still the enemy in our own behalf? What is that? It'll help us if we go to the New Testament, to the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew, and see what Jesus had to say about this. He quotes this 8th Psalm. Matthew chapter 21, verse 16. Let's go back up and read 12 and begin there and come on down. Matthew 21, beginning at verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Before we go on, I just want to draw your attention to three words in that verse. Came to him. Came to him. Didn't stay where they were and woe and bemoan their fate and their circumstances, but said, I know where there's a man that can heal me, and I'm going to him. It said the blind and the lame came to him. They presented themselves to Jesus, and he healed them. They got what they needed. Verse 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, he's quoting now the Psalm 8, verse 2, have ye never read Psalm 8, 2? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Aha! I think we're on to it now, aren't we? You begin to see it? The psalmist David said that out of the mouth of sucklings and babes that thou hast ordained strength, that we might still the enemy. Jesus said, quoting that same verse, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Praise is the strength that God Almighty has ordained and perfected in the church for the stilling of the enemy. Praise is the thing. It's not a magic formula. It's simply praise, praise, praise. Why do you think that the devil has so aggressively over the centuries stilled the voice of praise within the Church of Jesus Christ? The devil has successfully, in the bulk of the body of Jesus Christ, stilled the language of praise in the Spirit. Stilled it. Shut it off. He has successfully, by doctrinal manipulation, convinced the Church of Jesus Christ that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not real, that it's not for today. Speaking in tongues is not for today. Anybody that spoke in tongues was of the devil, or at least badly confused or deceived. And what's more, anybody that did it more than one at a time was really off in left field somewhere. And even within the full gospel churches, he has aggressively and eagerly perpetrated that same lie. And he spreads himself across a church in a way of in just like a heavy blanket to steal the praise of the people of God. Because when the praise is gone, the strength is gone, and his voice reigns then supreme. But as long as God's people, as long as they operate in praise, as long as they will praise God and worship him in freedom, in the Spirit, as well as in truth,
They and we can and, listen to me, will still him. Still him. And drive his everlasting nose into the dirt. Praise. 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 Praise is the strength. Praise is the strength. Think back over your own experience. When you were saved, then bless God when he showed you that there was more. When you entered into the fullness of His Spirit and you were baptized in the Holy Ghost, you'd never experienced such wonderful joy, and you just, every minute of every day, you just praise God all the time. If you weren't praising Him in tongues, we sang the song this morning, sometimes hallelujah, sometimes praise the Lord. But there were praises on your lips all the time. The Lord spoke tonight through the gift of prophecy, through our brother, and said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Every time we see a scene in heaven, in God's holy word, what do we see there? Praise. Praise. Volumes of it. Just lifting up before the throne of God. Just praise. Wonderful praise for Him. He's worthy, isn't He? He's worthy to be praised. And it's praise, you see, that is the strength that God has given unto the church. That means unto you and me as individual believers to still the enemy's voice in our life. Praise. Now I want to tell you something about praise, about the kind of praise. Is it interesting to you that Jesus said that it's out of the mouths of sucklings and babes that God has made this praise perfect? Out of the mouth of little teeny babies and sucklings has God perfected the kind of praise that stills the voice of the enemy. Now think on that for just a moment. It's so easy for the church, having received the fullness of God's Holy Spirit, having experienced that wonderful infantile, I'm going to call it infantile joy, that wonderful praise that just doesn't know any bounds, that praise that walks through the supermarket, glory to you, Jesus. That's pretty infantile, isn't it? But do you remember how it was when you first were filled with the Spirit? Then it just bubbled out of you all the time. You'd have had a cork in order to keep from doing that. Folks would look at you crazy like this. Used to be when before you knew the power of God, you'd hit your finger with a hammer, and you'd have to bite your tongue to keep from saying something that wasn't just right. After the Holy Spirit filled you, you'd hit your thumb with a hammer and say, glory to God. It just roll out, you see. It's just as natural, as normal. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Remember those days? For some of you, it's only been a few days ago. For some of you, it's been a few months ago. Some of you, maybe it's been a few years. Some of you, bless God, have never forgotten that because you're still walking in it. Praise the Lord. But you know, after a while, after we've been walking in that kind of a praise life, we begin to feel pressures from round about us. The people begin to look at us strangely in the supermarket. The kids will say, Mommy, what are you doing? That sounds silly. The husband that doesn't understand or the wife that doesn't understand will begin unknowingly to be used by the enemy to bring pressure to bear, you see, to bind that praise spirit. The church will begin to wonder, gee, how are we going to appear to the community? What are visitors going to think when they come into our fellowship? Bless God, we don't want to turn anybody off and we don't want to turn anybody away. We just kind of, we better be more normal. Well, I'm going to tell you what is normal. What is normal is that infantile, childish praise of Almighty God. That's normal. That's normal, because when you surrender yourself to the Spirit of God, what happens to you right away? Outpours this childish praise. That's normal. God's showing you what a Spirit-filled life ought to be like. That's normality. Now, I believe that the Lord would have us to see this tonight, because He would not want us to fall into the same rut that some of our blessed brothers and sisters have fallen into over the years. Greatly and wondrously blessed by God, powerfully used by the Holy Spirit, but then allowing, you see, what others may think to influence how we praise God. And when the praise of Almighty God begins to go down the tubes, and I'll tell you how it goes down the tubes. It doesn't go down the tubes from one week to the next. See, you don't have glorious, wonderful, childlike praise one Sunday, and then the next week, It doesn't go like that. It just kind of tails off. It just kind of drifts off. Some of you have already experienced this in your own life. And you wonder, where's the strength I used to have? Where's the power I used to have? Where's the faith I used to be walking in? Well, I ask you tonight, where is the praise that used to spill off your lips continually? Because that's where the strength is. It went the same place the praise did. Amen? Might as well say amen. It's true. It's true. Praise, you see, is what God has ordained for us for our strength. And the kind of praise that God wants is the kind that comes out of a baby. God is not interested in sophisticated praise. He does not want sophisticated praise. He does not want traditional praise. He does not want organized praise. He wants praise out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. He wants praise that is childish. He wants praise that is free and loose and doesn't care what anybody thinks except Him. That's the kind of praise that God wants, and that's the kind of praise that will keep strength in your life, and that is the kind of praise that will still the enemy so that you'll walk on top of him, not underneath him. That's the praise God wants. That's what He's talking about here. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, childish praise. Childish praise. Jesus said about many of the truths that are in His Word, I thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast withheld these things from those that are wise and hast revealed them unto babes. For thus it was pleasant in Thy sight to do. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I exhort you tonight that as you are seated in the congregation, the thing that will still the voice of the enemy in that stranger that is sitting next to you is the childlike praise and worship of Almighty God. Not your wondering what He's thinking. You say amen, it's all right. You go ahead. That's right. That's right. Now, does that mean that we ought not to have a choir? No, of course it doesn't. Does that mean that when we have special music that it ought not to be rehearsed? No, of course not. But it does mean that when we have praise in the service, that it needs to be praise. When I saw these little ones up here tonight, they're not going to get any award for tone quality. See? They're not going to get any award for musical ability. But I tell you, they get it in my book for out of the mouth of babes and sucklings comes perfected praise. See, they don't care what you think. They're willing to stand there and go, how deep and how wide and like that. See, it doesn't bother them. But how many of you would do the same? How many of you would, see? And so many of God's people in the church, even though the Word of God says clearly, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray without wrath and without doubting. And people, Spirit-filled people, well, lift my hands up, I might offend somebody. I don't want to lift my hands. I don't know what my mother is thinking. She's seated next to me, and she might not understand. Well, she never will understand, you see, unless you become like a little child before God and allow God to work in your situation and in your circumstance. I'm going to tell you what God did this morning. This is what He told me this morning. Everything that happened this... How many of you were in the morning service? All right, enough. Everything that happened this morning was not a surprise. A good bit of it was. I didn't really know what was going to take place, but all of it was not. I felt impressed that the Lord wanted to minister to the sick in the morning service today through the laying on of hands. I knew that the power of God would be in evidence because it always is because of His Word. Not because of any special anointing, but because of His Word. God's got a sense of humor. And I just want to give you a little insight into it. He said, we have a number in our church that will not come to a Sunday night service because they're afraid of what goes on there. We're going to bring the Sunday night service to them. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Now, you see, because I've learned again how to be a kid, God was able to do that this morning. He wouldn't have been able to do it 6 weeks ago because I wouldn't let Him do that. I would have stopped it. See. But today, God was able to bring the Sunday morning service to the morning. I didn't know what He was going to give us tonight. Still don't know exactly. Except He's given us some good instruction, I believe, isn't He? Out of the Word. Okay. Childlike praise. Infantile praise. When you come home at night, those of you that have real little ones, you dads especially, when you come home at night, your little one, how does he greet you at the door? Does he come running, Daddy, 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 or something like so? He doesn't care who's in the house, does he? It doesn't matter. His daddy's home. His daddy's home. He wouldn't care who was in the house. He's going to greet his daddy and love him. Same with you. Same with you. Now, I've made this determination. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not insensitive to the needs of people, and I'm not insensitive to who's in the congregation and all that sort of thing. But I am more... But my trust in the Holy Spirit of God is greater than my desire to be sensitive to who's in the congregation. That's what I want to say. I know that God's Holy Spirit will never make a fool out of me. He'll never do that. He'll redeem what I do for Him and what you do for Him the same way. And I have determined that I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to obey Him and listen to Him. And I exhort you to do the same in whatever the circumstance is. The Scripture says, clap your hands, all ye people. We heard it sung this morning out of the Psalms, didn't we? Clap your hands. But do you know, most of you do, that there are churches that if you went into today and clapped your hands in that church, you would be not only looked askance upon, but you would be politely asked to leave. Now, it would not be proper for you to walk into a church with 1,000 people and knowing that they felt like that and just fall off in the middle of the service, you don't begin to clap your hands. You understand what I'm saying. But there are those in the church even today where that is an accepted practice that just won't gum like a child. I'm too sophisticated for that. I'll just stand here and sing. David in the Psalm said, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout. You know what that means? It means to say, hallelujah, glory, praise God. That won't get it. I was watching today a little bit of the Falcon game, and they did a replay on a pass that the quarterback had thrown, and after he had thrown the pass and it was completed, when they did the replay, they featured the quarterback to show his reaction when the pass was completed. And as the pass was completed, here he is like this. Now, this is Steve Bartkowski. I mean, this is Mr. Cool. standing on a field with 58,000 people watching him, plus millions on television jumping up and down like a baby. But he didn't care, he was excited. Well, God's people, you see, are to be that excited too. Willing to clap, willing to shout, willing to jump up and down, willing to obey the Spirit of God. I didn't say just make Class A fools out of themselves. I said willing to obey the Spirit of God and praise Him with a childlike abandon that Jesus was talking about. Now, I want you to know that when you praise God like that, there is not any enemy that can stand before you, and I'm going to give you proof. Turn to 2 Chronicles. This will be a familiar passage to several of you, but we just want to cap this off. Second Chronicles chapter 20. This is the story of King Jehoshaphat and one of the battles that he fought against three enemy armies that were arrayed against him. Jehoshaphat was the king in those days. Jehoshaphat, in days gone by, had been a man of God, had slipped for a time away from God, was walking in his own authority and in his own strength. But when these three armies allied themselves against him and came against him in campaign, he threw himself and the whole nation before God and asked for direction. Verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. He says, there's no way that we can stand against this great company. They're too strong for us. The enemy is too powerful. But our eyes are upon thee. What should we do? And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. The Holy Ghost fell upon the prophet of God. And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. All right, now I want you to follow very carefully these next few verses and just meditate on what we've shared tonight. And Jehoshaphat, grand and magnificent king of a powerful nation, bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. All these mighty men of valor were not too proud to fall face down before Almighty God and worship Him and praise Him. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Now here they were, about to be annihilated, about to be destroyed by a powerful enemy force. And they stood up to praise the Lord God with a loud voice on high. Now I want you to notice there, as you read your Bible, how many times when it says they praised the Lord, that it will also say they praised Him with the voice, in an audible way, and frequently with a loud voice. A loud voice. A loud voice. How many of you saw that? I'm going to stop right there and we'll come back and pick it up. But how many of you saw this series last week, Heroes of the Bible or Great Men of the Bible? How many of you saw the one about Joshua? It doesn't really say this in the, doesn't say it exactly like this in the scripture, but it says that as Joshua came around the city of Jericho on the seventh day, that he told the people to be quiet. They marched quietly around the city 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched 7 times around the city quietly, instructed not to utter a sound. As they had marched the seventh time around the city and then surrounded the city, Joshua said, told the priests, blow the trumpets, and he told the people to shout with a loud voice. And those of you that saw this on the screen, I tell you, it was so powerful as it came into my spirit as I was watching it. And I watched this ragtag bunch of nothings out there on the sands around Jericho, stomping their feet and just shouting unto God, just making the silliest dumb noise that you've ever seen. And all of the captain of the host of Jericho, wicked, miserable man, standing on the parapets with all of the warriors of Jericho on the city walls, laughing down, jeering, just making all kinds of vile comments about these silly Jews that were out there surrounding the city. But as they shouted unto God, as they praised God, guess what happened? The power of God fell on those walls. They began to fall down. And all of a sudden, the enemy, who was shouting jeers and insults, was terror-stricken. Now, the very same thing happens in the realm of the Spirit when you praise God. Your enemy is terror-stricken when you praise the Lord. You can't see it happen, but it happens just like, those of you that saw that film and know what I'm talking about, you're not ever going to forget this analogy. If you saw the look on those men's faces, I want you to recognize that that's the same terror that is stricken into the heart of Satan and his demons when you praise the Lord and express the name of Jesus in rejoicing and praise. Okay? All right, that's Bible, and that's the way it happens. This is just another example we're looking at here. This is good, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I'm learning so much tonight. Praise God. I'm seeing some things tonight that I hadn't seen in a while. And I praise the Lord for sharing these things with us. All right, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning. And they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Believe the word, he said, that God has spoken to us. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. Now, here's a man who doesn't need singers. He needs horses. He needs swordsmen. He needs men that can throw the lance. But he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. They were going forth to sally to battle, and they were singing praises unto God. Now, there isn't anything much more childlike than a bunch of grown men standing on the battlefield facing a heathen army, singing, praise be unto God, unto his majestic holiness. That is about as silly in the worldly way as you can get. But look at what God did. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Those were the three nations that had confederated against them, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. It goes on to say that it took them 3 days to carry the spoil away. There was not a single sword drawn. There was not a single lance thrown. But as they sang and praised the Lord, God set those three enemy camps in such confusion against one another that they utterly destroyed each other. They destroyed each other. And the children of Israel went in, spent 3 days carrying off the loot. Now, that sounds to me to be a pretty good deal. I think that's a real good arrangement. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, has God ordained strength that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. Praise. Now, just one word in closing. When we come together to worship the Lord, and when whoever is leading the service, whether it be me or James or whoever it is, when you are invited to praise the Lord, you're invited to do something not just so we have a good service. You are invited to agree and to line yourself up with God's Word. You are invited to use that which God has ordained for you to still the voice of your enemy. Those individual Christians, those churches that have strong praise lives are the strongest believers and the strongest churches, because it's God's way. Can you see that? It's pretty clear, isn't it, huh? Well, let's give the Lord thanks for that. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that it's not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit. We thank you that you have given us a spirit of praise and of joy. We thank you, Father, that we can praise you because of our decision to do so. That it's not necessary for us to wait for a move of your Holy Spirit upon us to stir us especially to praise. Those times are good, Father, but all through your word, the men of God have said in ages past, I will praise the Lord. I will extol him. I will sing unto God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. We acknowledge, Father, that praise is something that we do, that we begin to do, and that your Spirit helps us as we praise. But it's something that we decide to do, the same as we decide to come to church, the same as we decide to read our Bibles, the same as we decide to pray. We also decide whether or not we're going to praise. I thank you, Father, that tonight you have shared this very simple yet tremendously powerful truth with us, which some of us have never really seen before in quite this light. I thank you, Father, that the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened, that our hearts have been opened to receive your word, and that we do now understand this that you've been trying to show us tonight, and for many weeks and many months. We thank you, Father, that we have been able to be like children before you in our praise. We thank you, Lord, that you have broken down those barriers that would bind us and would inhibit us. And for any that remain right now in the name of Jesus, we command them to be broken. And we throw off every fetter and every chain, every band and every bondage that would inhibit our praise of you. For we want you to know how much we love you. We want everybody else to know how much we love you too. For you're a great God. You're a wonderful God. We acknowledge that we're going to be praising you in childlike baby fashion for the rest of this life and on into the next, and until time has no end. There's so much, Lord, that we have to be grateful for and to praise you for. And when we run out of specific things to give you praise for, we'll just praise you for the beauty of your holiness. We'll just praise you for who you are. We'll just praise you that thou art God. We'll just praise you for your majesty, for your beauty, and for your blessedness, for your holiness. We just praise you for being God. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Father, for childlike spirits. We thank you, Lord, for understanding to see now the wiles of the devil and to see those things that would come against us to hinder us for what they are. And in Jesus' name, Father, we just rejoice for the privilege of praising you and of glorifying your name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 You know, we have such a blessed privilege here in our own fellowship that we really can praise God the way we want to. Praise Him the way that His Word says that we should. That's a blessed privilege.